Greetings in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. Chapter 46. Thomas, a twin, speaking on the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. Scriptures. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. John 11, verse 16. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen, and yet have believed. John 20, verses 24 to 29. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am fleshly, having been sold under sin. For what I work out, I do not know. For what I do not will, this I do. But what I hate, this I do. But if I do what I do not will, I agree with the law that it is good. But now I no longer work it out, but the sin dwelling in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good. For to will is present to me, but to work out the good I do not find. For what good I desire I do not do, but the evil I do not desire, this I do. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no longer I working it out, but the sin dwelling in me. I find then a law, when I desire to do the right, that evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, having warred against the law of my mind, and taking me captive by the law of sin being in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself with the mind truly serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. Romans 7, verses 14 to 25, literal translation. If you are reviled in the name of Christ, blessed are you, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On the one hand, he is blasphemed, but on the other, he is glorified. For let not any one of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler in other people's affairs. But if any one suffers as a Christian, let him not be put to shame, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who are disobedient to the gospel of God? And if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the godless and the sinner appear? Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. 1 Peter 4, verses 14 to 19, EMTV version. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah 17, verses 8 to 10. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verses 19 to 24. End Scriptures. Two visions. First vision continued from John, Grace and Mercy. Copied from John, Grace and Mercy, with the italicized edition. First, a note. I believe that the following vision explains my doctrine more completely, for I believe that the son of perdition that Jesus mentioned in his prayer to the Father in John 17 and verse 12 is the carnal nature in mankind after the fall of Adam. However, I also believe that the son of perdition is a spiritual entity, a force of motion from the spirit world, which is deceiving many in this hour. It is the force of spirit that imitates perfectly the Christ, but is not the Christ. End note. Now the vision. The seat of the Lord within the temple of his holiness, even the Holy of Holies. It was there that I saw one who sat upon the seat, even that mercy seat, which is exemplary of the mercy and the grace of the Lord, and of his great love wherewith he hath loved us. I saw upon this seat the Lord sitting in the midst of the blood of sprinkling. But as I looked closely at this one who sat thus upon the mercy seat, I knew that this was not the Lord at all, but this one who was prophesied about by Daniel and the Apostle Paul. This was indeed the perdition that the Lord Jesus Christ said he would not save. Before this false Jesus came forward, many of the fivefold ministry in the earth at this time in our day. These would present themselves to the false Lord, thinking in their minds that this was the Lord, but they had no discernment that this was indeed that one who only imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. The fivefold ministry came with briefcases and books and written texts, which they presented to this perdition. This perdition who sat thus upon the mercy seat would then view the articles within their various texts and would approve of them, and then would send these false fivefold ministries out into the world to deceive and to bind and to confuse and to cause rift and division and every evil working. And now for the addition to this vision. I saw also that besides the briefcases and books and written texts, that the false fivefold ministries also brought with them Bibles, bound in leather, very worn from much study and hours upon hours of reading God's word. However, as the Bibles were opened and presented to this perdition, seated falsely upon the mercy seat in the holiest of holies, that I saw that every single page and scripture within the Bibles they had in their possession had been entirely blotted out. The pages were only black with the blotting, so that no legible text could be seen. However, the blotting was, as it were, a black liquid, and each page that had this liquid was a page known to the false fivefold ministry. They were then able to run their fingers over a page of scripture and smear off of the text only that portion that was necessary to them. This way they could read what scriptures they wished to read and blot out those verses they did not wish to read. That way the verses would fit into the pattern of doctrine so that they could continue to work blindness and iniquity in the lives of those whom they would minister to in the earth. End edition of the vision. I knew that this was the hour in which the world is in now at this time, and that this perdition is working in the Christian world without any restraint from the true Holy Spirit. End first vision. Second vision. Beheld the Lord upon the throne in the heavens. His face was as the jasper stone and the sardine stone. Upon the earth I saw the very small few who had formed the army of the Lord, that is found in Joel chapter 2, verses 2 to 11. The soldiers of this army, the company of men and women who were overcomers, each had upon them the full armor of the Lord that the Apostle Paul wrote of in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. Each one had obeyed the Lord, had followed the Lord, and had forsaken all things to be found in him, with no righteousness of their own. I saw the Lord upon the throne, supplying to these individual members of his army things necessary to strengthen them for the time that is immediately ahead of them. Things from the hand of the Lord himself, not from any other place, given through ministry and faithful servants who would supply these goods and items and foodstuffs to the army to strengthen them. However, I saw that immediately in front of them was not the command to march in glorified bodies, nor the ability to bypass death. Rather, in front of them was the judgment of God. For I could see under each breastplate of righteousness the hearts beating of these sons and daughters of God. But their hearts were still mingled with the duality of flesh, which caused their hearts to be deceitful above all other things, and desperately wicked. I saw that immediately in front of all they who would overcome was a time of judgment from the Lord to correct and divide asunder flesh and spirit, so that only the life of spirit would remain. This judgment that is yet to come will draw a line very fine through the soul and spirits, flesh and bone of the overcomers as they await their glorified bodies. The breastplates of righteousness supplied by the armor were perfect and glowed with the glory of Christ's righteous nature. But the hearts underneath these breastplates were now going to be brought to judgment and to the correction of the Lord. End second vision and visions. There is in the mind of any dedicated person a sense of complete frustration at their lack. This lack is the lack of being totally pure before the Lord in all things, both as relates to this natural world and as relates to living before the Lord in pure holiness. Instead, any true overcomer will find that as time progresses, duality in them increases. The vileness of their flesh nature, which they despise, is stronger than ever. The more the cross is carried, the more the nails are driven into the hands and feet, the more the flesh seems to arise and to defend itself. This flesh nature arises in a state of complete defiance to the cross in every respect, and it wars completely against the desire of the overcomer. It wars completely against the desire the overcomer has to be found perfect in the Lord in full armor, ready for the manifestation of the sons of God. As time progresses, this war increases. It does not decrease. The defilements of flesh and the putridity of carnal thinking is getting worse, not less, harder to understand, not easier. And any true overcomer ends up trying to brush off this experience with a sense of ignoring it rather than having to deal with it. The Christian world teaches us that Jesus is to return for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. But the overcomer realizes that the more they go on in God, the worse the spots are becoming, and the wrinkles are getting near impossible to iron out. Instead of finding that their lives are more pure, they find that along with that purity is a putridity of flesh, putrid flesh, which is more abhorrent than ever before. After years of walking with the Lord, the overcomer seems no better off. They are instead more aligned to reveal iniquity than truth, and deceit and error than the righteous standard they confess with their mouths. The Christian world ignores this malady, but the overcomer is learning to face it. Rather than being at a place of completeness, they seem to suffer much more lack. Not only this, but the overcomer also at this time has had a greater increase in the knowledge of the Word of God and of revelation by the Holy Spirit of that same Word. They see new light, new things of understanding, and of the perfection that is to come at the revelation of Jesus from heaven itself. However, at the very same time, their mind throws confusion into the mix. The mind of carnality arises and kills off any new revelation from the scriptures the overcomer may have obtained, as it becomes a war to remember the new thing that the Holy Spirit has taught them. This war is real. It is the war of the carnal mind and the spirit mind in the life of the overcomer that Christendom is totally ignorant of. And now to this, the heart of the overcomer, from whence the issues of life come forth, from the Lord within them. Right alongside is the heart that is deceitful and wicked and is but a lying vanity. This is the fleshly heart versus the heart of spirit, right under the breastplate of righteousness that is part of the overcomer's armor. What a duality we have. We are waiting any moment for the Lord to arise in us, come to us from heaven, glorify us, and he will. But at the same time, we are in an internal struggle that is unprecedented in world history. And this is only happening to the few who are like Gideon's army of 300, the small smattering of humanity that is handpicked by the Lord to bear his name. Thomas was a disciple of Christ who first showed us duality. He was one, however, who overcame it. Unlike Judas Iscariot, he conquered it during the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his time. Judas Iscariot's sins followed after. Thomas faced his right on in comparison to Jesus, and by that he overcame. His life was remarkable. Christendom called him a doubting Thomas. I call him one that had more faith than most of the overcomers in our day. He saw this duality I speak of in himself, and at the same time he recognized that the only way to overcome it was by dying to it. He was a disciple who eagerly viewed the cross as the great power of God. The cross to him was not a Roman method of punishment. It was to him the power of God unto salvation. When Thomas saw any opportunity come his way for death to remove carnality from him, he would jump at it. The death of Lazarus, the death of Jesus. He was a prophet, for he knew that Jesus would rise again. When he thrust his fingers into Christ's side and nail holes, he did so out of joy. Jesus said he was faithless. He had to be believing. Faithless in believing Jesus rose from the dead? No. His faith lacked in this area, that he could die with Jesus, that he and Jesus could share the same cross. Jesus, in essence, said to Thomas that the cross will do a complete work in you, Thomas. Have faith for that. And greater still will be those who did not physically handle the resurrected Jesus, because they would do all of this by faith. Thomas had doubt only in one area, that he could not die fast enough. Thomas is written into the foundation structure of the New Jerusalem, and his life relates to the agate stone, one that would discern between flesh and spirit, would endure the working of the cross to separate the one from the other, and would have his only desire fulfilled, and that was to be only in spirit. For the overcomer, this portion of the foundation of the New Jerusalem becomes ours when we do two things. Number one, admit that your flesh is getting stronger, not weaker as time goes by, that it is arising with power to combat the life of Christ in you and to run down your faith. And two, admit also that the cross Christ accomplished becomes your accomplishment. That the very cross Jesus finished his earthly life upon becomes the same cross you finish your earthly life upon. Thomas prophesied of the resurrection by his action of handling the risen Lord in his fingers. This was the word of life. To him it was almost too good to be true that Jesus succeeded. Therefore, he would succeed. Jesus succeeded. Therefore, he, Thomas, you and I would succeed. We will succeed because Jesus succeeded. That Jesus inherited a glorified body. So he too, we as well, would inherit a glorified body. Thomas was one who knew in whom he believed. There is no sin in admitting that your flesh seems to arise more against your spirit at this time than ever before. And there is no sin in admitting that your spirit is also getting stronger day by day to resist this rising. There is a war happening in you. This war is about to end. The Lord is about to judge you. Judgment must begin with the house of God. What greater place than for the Lord to judge those who form the church within the church? Even the smattering few of those who are deemed overcomers. In front of you will be a confrontation, a place where you will hit an invisible wall. The Lord is about to stop you dead in your tracks. He is going to draw in you, by the tip of his sword, the fine line needed to reveal flesh from spirit. That is the target that Jesus is aiming for when he comes. His heel will split this target, for this will be the cleavage of the rocks of the Mount of Olives. You, and you will be split in two. The cleavage of the Mount of Olives by Christ's heel, you will be split in two. Your flesh will be totally rounded up and removed from you. Armageddon. And only your spirit will remain. And your flesh body will he glorify with your raised body. It was necessary that you, dear overcomer, would come this way to see both arising in you. Did you ever think that true doctrine would say such a thing? It is truth. The mystery of iniquity will first be completed in you, dear overcomer. That mystery, the mystery of iniquity, when done, will, to you, be no more. That will be the first mystery done when God is completed in his judgments against you. Note, I said judgments. I did not mention wrath. His wrath will bring judgment. But we are saved from wrath, brackets, separation because of personal iniquity, end brackets. We are saved from wrath through him that loved us. Wrath and judgment are not the same thing. And God does not have one kind of wrath. His wrath is manifold in size, element, and power. And he will use wrath to judge, and he will judge you so that you will be free. Never again allow yourselves to think that you are doubters. Never again allow yourselves to think that you will miss Christ. Ask the Lord to try you, to test you, to fit you to the cross. Ask him to take that instrument of death and make it life unto you. That way, you will know the power of God unto salvation, and by it, you will be more than a conqueror. Why? Because judgment will be done in you, and you will be glorified. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.